Welcome. You're listening to the RPC Sermons podcast. You can join us for virtual worship every Sunday at roswellpres.org. Thanks for listening.
The trial. Then they took Jesus from Caiaphas to Pilate's headquarters. It was early in the morning. They themselves did not enter the headquarters so as to avoid ritual defilement and to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered, "If this man were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law." The Jews replied, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill what Jesus had said when he indicated the kind of death he was to die. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So, you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no case against him, but you have a custom that I release someone for you at the Passover. Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" They shouted in reply, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a bandit. The dialogue in John's gospel, I suggest to you, is deeply personal. Deeply personal for us. It's just not just an historic accounting of what took place just before Jesus was crucified. It's a story that reveals something very deep about us. All Scripture is told in such a way that we are to find ourselves in the story that's told. What God's story is revealed to us in Scripture, we are to find ourselves in that Scripture. And by the power of the Spirit, I pray that each one of us would find ourselves in the story today. We would find ourselves. The key characters in this story, first there are the chief priests and the Jews who stand against Jesus. They want him dead. He's broken no law. They have no power, no authority to condemn him to death, but they want him dead. As far as they're concerned, he's causing trouble. He's an upstart. He's from the wrong side of the tracks. He's from up north in Galilee. He's never been to seminary to study to be a rabbi yet. He's a rabbi, and he teaches with a kind of authority that is compelling to people, and more people are beginning to follow him. They want him out of the way before something terrible happens, and he has all the people behind him, and then what if he does foment a revolt? The Romans will come in and crush the Jews. They've done it before. They'll do it again. The only way to take care of Jesus is to kill him. They have no authority to do so. And then there's Pilate. He is the Roman governor. He's the man in charge. He has all the authority. He has all the power. He has the decision-making of who can live and who can die. And then there's Jesus. the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the true King of the Jews. The chief priests and the Pharisees, they can't make any decision where Jesus is concerned other than to turn him over to Pilate. Pilate doesn't want to have anything to do with the business of the Jews. Pilate could care less about the Jews. Pilate is in this for his career. He's been placed in this position in ancient Israel, ancient Judah, as governor, and he is hoping that Rome will notice him and that eventually he'll be promoted and he'll be moved away from this God-forsaken land of Israel and Judah. It was his job to keep the peace. Whatever it took, Pilate was to keep the peace. His future depended on him keeping the peace. Rome was dependent on agriculture that came from Egypt, and it had to pass through Judah. And so nothing could interrupt that food getting from Egypt to Rome. What were they going to feed the people who were hungry in the streets of Rome? It was mostly corn that came from Egypt. So Pilate's role was to keep things moving and to keep the peace and not let anything get out of control. He has the authority, he has the power, and he knows his path forward, keeping the peace. Pax Romana, the power of Rome. And then there's Jesus. Jesus, who has been accused of claiming to be the King of the Jews. He's been accused of claiming that he is the Messiah of Israel. If he is the Messiah, then that's a problem for Rome and for the Jewish leaders. Because Jesus proclaims a message that they don't really care for. This path of humility, this path of serving, this path of yielding to others, that is not what they're expecting in the coming of the Messiah. So Jesus comes before Pilate, and Pilate asks this question, what is truth? It's the wrong question. The right question is, who is truth? And how we will respond to the truth. Who is truth? And how do we respond? That's the question before us. That's the question that we wrestle with today in our own lives. Who has authority? Who has authority in our lives? Pilate had authority. He knew he had authority. He knew that Jesus was not a warrior. He knew that. Pilate's not stupid. He's got his own spies. He knows that what Jesus is preaching is not something that would overthrow what his role is and overthrow the kingdom. He knows that's true, but nonetheless, he asks Jesus if he has this power. Are you the king? And Jesus says, well, are you asking this because you believe that or because somebody's told you this? So this questioning goes back and forth because Jesus knows that he's talking about something that's of a spiritual nature, and Pilate lives in a different world. Pilate lives in this world, and so that's all he knows. Authority in this world is the person who has the greatest strength. And that's what it was like in the ancient world. What is truth? Well, what does the person who has the greatest strength say is truth? Well, then you abide by that truth or you die. Pilate believes that he has the authority. He's questioning Jesus. What he doesn't know is that it is true that Jesus is the King of the Jews. It is true that Jesus said, I have a kingdom, I'm of a kingdom, but this kingdom is not of this world. This kingdom is coming among us. It's going to happen here on earth, and it's spiritual. And he realizes there's no way that Pilate understands. Who has the power in this story? Who has authority over your life? Who has authority over my life? Is there someone who tells us what to do? Are we free to be the person that God created us to be? Does Congress have the authority to dictate how we live in this world? I sure hope not, because they don't know what they're doing, especially right now. But do they have the authority? They have all kinds of authority, but they have nothing compared to the authority of Jesus, the Son of God, who has all authority. And as he says after the resurrection, in the Gospel of Matthew. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always till the end of the age. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. Are we paying attention to what Jesus says and how he lives? Well, what about the question of, that's authority, but what about power? The Jews have some power, but with Rome as their overlord, Pilate really has ultimate power as far as this world is concerned. The Jews can't condemn someone to death. They can't do it by their law. But Pilate can. Rome can do this. And Pilate is playing with Jesus here because Pilate knows that Jesus is not a military king and will not raise up a force to overthrow the Romans. Pilate knows that. And Pilate believes that he has ultimate power. Who has ultimate power in our lives? Are we free agents to the point that we have the power to choose whatever we will do in this life? Because we're created in the image of God, so yes, we do have this power in us. This inherent power with the image of God in us. Do we have the power to do whatever we want in this world? To our own peril. Pilate has power, but the power of Jesus is greater than any power on the earth. What about the path forward? Pilate, again, is in this for his own sake, for his own career. He wants to advance. And the Jews and the chief priests, they're in this for their own sake too. They've made an unholy alliance with Rome. And so the chief priests want to make sure there's peace in the land too, because they're getting benefits from Rome. They're helping each other. There are payments that go under the table to make sure this whole thing works, and it's working. So don't mess it up, Jesus. Jesus' path is different. Jesus came, and what he says in this passage, he came to do that for which he was born. He was born to save his people, to save his people from their sins. Remember in the early part of John where John the Baptist turns to his followers and says, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In John's gospel, Jesus said, I will be lifted up and all glory will come to me. And by lifting up, he's pointing toward being lifted up on a cross and dying that excruciating death by suffering. That's the path forward of Jesus. That's our path forward. You may remember that at one point, the disciples and Jesus are going to Jerusalem for this last time to the Passover, to celebrate the Passover meal. And two of the disciples say, well, they start talking about the kingdom of heaven. Who's going to sit on your right and who will sit on your left? And Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, then where I go, you will go. Where I am, there you will be. Where's he going? He's going to the cross, and he's going to suffer. And he says to us, where I am going, there you will be. And so in our culture, we eschew any value, any redeeming purpose in suffering, and even in death. And yet, the greatest power, the greatest act of authority and power ever in the universe is that the very Son of God came into this world and gave himself. Not an easy death, but the most excruciating kind of death that anyone could experience with all kinds of suffering until the point that he breathed his last. We read in the Gospels that between noon and 3 on the day of the crucifixion, that the whole land became dark. There's something very powerful about that that I want us to think about. The whole world became dark, and it's at the time that Jesus is on the cross and he cries out, that beautiful hymn that we heard just a few moments ago, Why have you forsaken me? I used to believe that that was a powerful moment, an incredibly powerful moment in the history of the universe and the history of my life. Everything hinges on this first act before the resurrection. But I've come to feel and believe something different. Having experienced a kind of darkness and losing a child that I never imagined I could ever experience, and I hope you'll never experience it, though I know some of you have. What kept me going and what keeps me going is this very point. Why have you forsaken me? In our theological tradition, we believe that hell is separation from God. It's the worst state of being that could ever happen to anyone, to be completely separate from God. And so hell would be a place where we're totally devoid of the presence of God and God's love. And what a terrible place to be. Jesus goes there for us on our behalf. I know that sometimes people who struggle with certain kinds of mental illness experience a depression that is so dark that unless we've experienced it ourselves, we have no idea how deep and dark that depression is. We cannot know. And for a person in that position, often it feels like there's utterly no way out. It is a place no one would ever want to go. It's so dark and there's no way out. Jesus went there so that even there, there's no place that we can go that Christ himself has not gone, that God does not know it, because God does know it, because God experienced it in the cross in his own Son, who experienced that separation from God. There is no place we can go in heaven on earth and be separated from the love of God. No wonder the Apostle Paul can write in Romans those magnificent words, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, even that deepest darkness, cannot keep you down when the power of the resurrection is at work within us, and that's what this points to. Of course it points to this, but the resurrection means nothing. If it isn't the case that God came into the world as a savior of the world to take upon himself the sins of humanity, all the sins of humanity, your sins and my sins, they have been killed on the cross in Jesus. There is nothing you can do to earn God's forgiveness. It's been done. Those spikes in Jesus, they were final. It is finished, Jesus says on the cross. It's done. Your sins are forgiven. Make no mistake about it. On that cross, anything in this universe that takes us in a direction that we feel is utterly hopeless, God knows it. And that's why Jesus came. That's why he came. That's why the angel said to Mary, you'll name him Jesus, because he'll save his people from their sins. He wants to save us. He did save us from our sins. So the question that Pilate asked, what is truth, is the wrong question. The right question is, who is truth? And how we will respond to that truth. Who has the authority? Who has the power? And who has a path forward that is worth giving our lives to, serving one another, serving Christ, not giving in to hatred, not giving in to division, not allowing that kind of force to grip our hearts and dictate how we live in this world. We are to receive the love of God in Christ, be filled with love, abide deep in Christ, and allow the fruitfulness of his life be evident in our lives. And Jesus says, by your fruit, my disciples will be known.
You've been listening to the RPC Sermons podcast. Please let us know you're here by visiting roswellpres.org and signing our digital friendship register. May the grace and love of God be with you today and throughout the rest of your week. Thanks for listening.